Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Listen and download your favorite scary stories on my Apple Podcast and Spotify. Tales from the Dark Forest. Now let's get spooky. It was Mackenzie's idea to go camping. In fact, most things we do start out as one of her ideas. Neither of us were exactly outdoor enthusiasts, but we had both grown up in rural towns and did our share of hiking and fishing growing up. So I wasn't exactly daunted by the idea of spending a few days in the woods. But I wasn't exactly excited either. School had just let out for spring break. And after another semester of getting kicked by midterms, it was very tempting to give in to my body's desire for a few days of uninterrupted sleep. Uninterrupted sleep, unfortunately, was not Mackenzie's idea of a good time. She had been suggesting the idea to me for weeks beforehand, and I had always brushed her off by claiming I had other things coming up. But by the time the break rolled around, I had ran out of excuses, and she had already prepared everything with me in mind. So it was decided. We left on Sunday. Despite Mackenzie making me wake up before the sun even rose to get on the road, I found myself in a strangely good mood. I had spent most of the previous day either eating or napping, the most interrupted rest I had gotten since Christmas. We drove up from Bakersfield, her truck bathed in the light of the desert sunrise. At first, we spoke of classes and tests, and then of a camping spot she had found in the forests of the Sierra Nevada. It wasn't exactly a campground, she informed me. It was something called dispersed camping, which means you register a permit with park services and then you pitch a tent wherever you'd like. Which also meant no water, heat, or electricity. Leave it to Mackenzie to make sure everything we do is to the extreme. By the time the desert scenery had bled into the browns and greens of the Sierra foothills, I had rifled through all of our packs. I trusted Mackenzie with the planning, but now I realized we were going to be a little more off the grid than previously anticipated. I just wanted to make sure. We each had our own private tents and sleeping bags, along with a few days' supply of food and water. Cooking utensils, first aid kits, and other items were divided up between our two packs, which were already stacked high enough to peek over my head when it was on my back. I recognized landmarks near Sequoia National Park and Kings Canyon, but Mackenzie took us farther north and I lost track of the terrain. She turned on a trail that led us deeper into the mountains, and pulled over when it ended at the foot of a hill. I was out here last week looking around for spots, she said, opening the car door. If we hike around this hill, there's a sort of little valley with a lake at the bottom that we could set up. I groaned a little as I shrugged on my pack. How long a hike? I asked. I took a step forward and winced at the sound of pots clanging together. Next time, I'm packing my own bag. Maybe a half an hour or so. A little cardio never hurt anyone, I guess, and I bumped the pack higher before tightening the hip strap, trying to keep the weight from dragging on my shoulders. Mackenzie was right. Just around the hill, the terrain dropped dramatically towards a lake at the center of the valley. almost like a caldera. I just doubt that there used to be any active volcanoes around these parts. Mackenzie led the way down, through some steep ground where I was worried I might slip and roll all the way down into the lake. But the firm dirt made good footing, and the trees made good handholds. Mackenzie suddenly stopped. I heard the rushing of water. I peeked around her shoulder and saw that in front of us laid a stream, almost a small river if I was being generous. It also led towards the lake, but a bend in the trail meant we had to cross it to continue. The snows up in the mountains must have began to melt because the stream had swelled in size, and the log that laid across it was already submerged by a thin layer of water. Only a few more minutes of walking after we cross this, Mackenzie said, nudging the log with her toe of her boot. It seemed sound enough, despite being underwater. I'd watch out, I said, leaning over the stream. There were tiny ripples at the surface, but it looked placid. They say that streams like these only look calm on the surface. Mackenzie snorted out a laugh and stepped onto the log. Yeah, that's why I don't plan on swimming in it. She began to shimmy across, and after a few moments, I shrugged and I joined her. It wasn't a far crossing, maybe 20 feet, and we were making fast progress. But in the end, it was always the little things that got you. A little more than halfway across, Mackenzie's foot slipped and she leaned forward to regain her balance. Her sleeping bag tied to the top of the pack broke loose from one of its straps, fell forward over her shoulder until it was caught midair by the remaining strap. That little momentum was enough. Mackenzie tottered for a split second and fell in. I was right. The current was fast. She reached out a hand to grab onto the log, but by the time she resurfaced, she was already too far downstream. I began to scramble across, in hopes to get to the other side before she was pulled too far away. I guess some luck was on our side that day. The stream was fast, but it wasn't deep, and it couldn't pull her under. Some 20 yards downstream, her pack had caught onto a fallen tree, and that was how I had found her, gasping and sputtering. Maybe it was a combination of the adrenaline and the ice-cold water, but by the time we stumbled to the spot we were going to set up camp, Mackenzie was laughing hysterically. She had rolled her ankle during her stint in the stream and was limping on ahead of me while I stumbled after her with her pack, in addition to mine, strapped to me. I didn't plan on swimming in it, Mackenzie giggled from ahead of me. And then I fell right into the damn thing. Even I had to smile at that, despite being stuck with around 60 pounds of supplies. Maybe I did need some more action in my life. Now I really had a story to tell when I got back home. It was just about noon by the time we finished pitching our tents and hung our wet clothing out to dry. Mackenzie began digging a fire pit to cook our lunch as we had neglected to bring a jet boiler. I took this moment to take stock of my surroundings and was pleasantly surprised that we had found a genuinely beautiful spot to set up camp. We were by the edge of the lake where the mountains flattened out and the tree line ended a few yards from the shore. After being in school dorms for nearly a year, the amount of the quiet was almost uncanny, the only sounds being the wind in the trees and the waves breaking against the sand. It was alluring, like a lullaby. Mackenzie cussed beside me. I looked over. She was struggling to get the fire going. Her hands shook as she tried to light another match. A small pile of used ones already laid by her knee. Let me try, I said, sitting up. She almost got pulled away by a stream an hour ago, I reasoned. Sometimes the shock only hits you after the adrenaline had gone away. I had more luck, and after the fire got going, the rest of the afternoon and evening went by pleasantly. I rummaged through my pack and found that Mackenzie had packed marshmallows and chocolate for s'mores. I tossed the packing onto the ground and jokingly said, "I see my pack was so heavy because it was full of all these essential supplies."
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Mackenzie grinned and then shrugged innocently. She grabbed the pack of marshmallows and began unceremoniously shoving them into her mouth. "Aren't those for cooking?" I asked, and Mackenzie looked up at me with a very well-acted look of confusion. I laughed. When the sun set, both of us agreed to retire early so that we could wake up at sunrise to explore the area in the morning. I shimmied into my tent and pulled the zipper closed. I checked my watch one last time before letting the sound of the waves lull me to sleep. I woke up in the dark, and something was wrong. The air was heavy, and my skin was clammy, as if I had just broken into a fever. Nothing was disturbed inside my tent, and the outside was still quiet. There was nothing reasonable that could have caused this feeling. It's hard to explain. Thinking back on it, the only conclusion I could come up with was that we, as a species, are old. Younger than the forests and mountains, of course, but still old enough. And in that time, we have seen many things. You could conjure up your life experiences and logic all you want, but deep down, there is a part of you that simply knows when something is wrong. And in that moment, I knew. Suddenly, there was a light tapping on the flap of my tent, and then a voice. "You need to come outside," Mackenzie whispered, and she sounded terrified. I took a few deep breaths and clenched my pocket knife in a white-knuckled grip. In a flurry of motion, I unzipped the flap and stuck my face outside. I came face to face with Mackenzie. Her hair was disheveled, and she looked to be on the verge of tears. I opened my mouth, but she clamped a hand down over my lips and motioned for me to be silent. For a few moments, neither of us spoke, and the only sound to be heard was our own heavy breathing as we stared at each other. But then Mackenzie's eyes slowly drifted away from mine towards the lake. I saw her pupils dilate until I could barely see the color of her eyes. "Run," she whispered. I didn't have time to question her. She leapt up and sprinted into the woods. I didn't waste a second before getting up and following her. The two of us crashed through the undergrowth. Perhaps Mackenzie was clearing away in front of me because it was strangely easy. Maybe I was simply scared. Mackenzie! I called to the shape in front of me, but no answer. Only the sound of her breathing and the cracking of branches. Mackenzie, what's going on here? Still nothing. And then the adrenaline in my system began to run out and I suddenly stopped. It was dark, almost too dark to see. We had left all our lanterns back at the camp, and the canopy practically blocked out any moonlight. We had been running for several minutes, but there was no cuts on me or branches clinging to my hair. It was like I hadn't been forcing my way through the trees at all. It was as if they were welcoming me. Ahead of me, Mackenzie had stopped too. She was standing still, and I couldn't hear her breaths anymore. We have to keep going, she said, her voice strangely level. Not until you tell me what's going on, I called back. Mackenzie shook her head. It was even darker where she was standing, and I couldn't make out her face. But behind her was some sort of clearing, and the light coming through silhouetted her against the trees. We're almost out of the forest, she said, and I saw that she was right. There was nothing I would not give to be out of this godforsaken forest. But no, it couldn't be. It took us a half an hour to hike here, and that was downhill. The forest could not end here. I was being reeled in like a fish chasing a worm on a hook. Mackenzie turned around, and as she did, she took a step towards me, an impossibly huge step. She had been several yards ahead, and now we were almost face to face. I ran. I turned around and I ran like I was being chased by the devil himself. If the trees had been welcoming on the way in, they were the opposite on the way out. Branches caught on my clothing and cut my arms and face. I kept on stumbling over tree roots and rocks, but I was undeterred. Behind me, I heard her running after me, but it didn't sound like Mackenzie any longer. It sounded like it had four legs. I wasn't even tempted to turn around. I was too focused on running, and my eyes stayed locked on the light that marked the end of the tree line. I practically dove onto the beach and fell hard onto my hands and knees. I felt the bones in my wrist crunch at the landing. I continued to crawl until I was almost in the water before I turned around. There was nothing there. I wasn't far from our tents, and I watched in wonder as Mackenzie's tent unzipped from the inside and she stepped out. What are you doing? She asked groggily. I ran towards her and practically tackled her into a hug. It was thanks to Mackenzie that we both didn't fall because in that moment my knees gave out. There's something in the forest, I said. And to her credit, she immediately grew serious. Did you see someone? She asked, scanning the dark line of trees looming over us. No, I said. Well, yes, but I don't know. And at that moment, I didn't want to tell her what I saw, because speaking of it makes it all the more real. Something tried to lure me into the forest, I said at length, but I don't think it's human. Mackenzie just stared at me. For a split second, I thought she was going to call me insane, but it never came. We need to get back to the truck, she said. If she had any questions, she refrained from asking them. No, I replied, regaining some of my composure. It wants us in the forest. We're as good as dead in the forest right now, Mackenzie reasoned. The truck is right there. We need to leave. I looked up and I could see the glint of the truck in the moonlight at the top of the hill. It seemed so close. I outran it once, we could do it again, and there will be two of us this time. Once we're there, we'll drive, and we won't stop until this freak show's hours behind us. We could be in Bakersfield by morning. But no. No, we couldn't. Because the truck is more than a mile away, tucked away behind some hill. We shouldn't be able to see it from here. It was simply impossible. Whatever it was a good hunter, I admit. Because good hunters don't chase you with drums and torches. They come at night and they come quietly, disguised as everything you could want. When you are in the dark, they are a light. When you are trapped, they are escape. And when you are lonely, they are company. I pushed Mackenzie away. "Why didn't you wake up when I ran into the forest?" I asked. She shrugged, and her facial expression clearly showed that she had thought I was being an idiot. "You were quiet," she replied. "But you heard me when I came back." She looked at me in the eyes. "I guess you were louder." There was a tense moment between us where no one spoke. Then Mackenzie threw her hands into the air in exasperation. "What use is this?" she shouted. "We need to leave." I shook my head and took a step back. "No," I said. "I'm staying here." She looked at me as if I had finally gone insane, but I wouldn't budge. Mackenzie took a step towards me, and I flipped my pocket knife open and pointed it at her. She stopped in her tracks and stared at me. You couldn't say she looked surprised. "So, it's gonna be like
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
"This, huh?" I nodded, and the two of us lapsed into yet another silence. After a while, she sat and I followed suit. She talked to me all night. At first, she tried to convince me that we needed to leave. She begged me, in fact. She talked about how close the truck was and how dangerous it was to be out here. Then, as the night dragged on, she spoke of stranger things. She asked me if I was tired, and I didn't respond. "You never have to be tired again," she said. "I don't just mean tonight. What will you do once you leave? Go back to your life? Work? Will you be tired for the rest of your life? You will die tired." She made a sweeping gesture with her hand that encompassed the expanse of trees behind her. "You could stay here forever," she said. "I promise you will never be tired again." When I didn't answer, she began to speak of her sisters. I knew for a fact that Mackenzie had no sisters. She talked about how they would gather berries for me, how they would make me a crown of oak leaves to wear. She told me that they stitched clothing with no seams and made fabrics from the foam of the sea. I was in a trance. She painted pictures in my mind of how they would fashion me flutes and harps, and how we would go dancing through the forest during winter, leaving behind only footprints in the snow. "When you sing," she said, smiling, "the snows will melt and you will bring in the first flowers of spring." and even so, I did not move and I did not sleep. Finally, just before the dawn broke, Mackenzie stood. "So this is it." And her voice didn't even sound like Mackenzie's anymore. "A marvelous hunt comes to an end." And she bent at the waist in a mock bow before turning around and walking into the woods. "You may leave." She laughed over her shoulder as she melted into the shadows. And her laugh echoed across the valley, making ripples in the water and shaking the trees like the wind. I didn't trust her. I waited until the sun was high in the sky before leaving everything but my knife, and I ran for it. I encountered nothing in the forest on my way back, but I also didn't stop to look. By the time I reached the truck, my legs were burning, and I could feel my heartbeat in my ears. I am not lying when I say I did not touch that brake pedal even once driving out of those mountains. I never looked behind me either. But the trees casted shadows on the ground as I passed them, and just before I reached the edges of the foothills, I swore I saw one in the shape of a woman, and I saw it waving. I called park services at the nearest town and gave them a polished version of what happened. They searched the area and found Mackenzie's body face down in the lake, carried there by the current. I don't know what they pulled out of that stream, but it wasn't her. It might sound twisted, but I was relieved to hear the news. I had thought that, well, that maybe Mackenzie had never been there with me. That it had planned this whole trip from the start to finish. I'm still in shock, but I will mourn for my friend when the time comes. I saw the stream. I knew how shallow it was. Mackenzie should not have died, but it killed her. It murdered her. And it would have murdered me. So as beautiful as its words sounded, I did not stay. It has no power outside. It lives in the forests. I will say it again. It lives in the forests, and when you see it, you will know. Hello, my name is R.G. Fisher. My therapist advised me to write down what I have been through, so I suppose I will. It's been a week, and I typically have bad memory, but I still remember everything vividly, so damn vividly. I'll try my best to recount the details, but after all I've been through, I cannot promise it will be good. Now, where to begin? It started with a trip I had decided to take. I was getting exhausted and tired with people in society, and really just life in general. I decided I would go camping in some deep woods. I'd rather not state the location, however. Apologies for that. There were beautiful, lush trees. I could hear the birds singing and the animals moving about. The bugs were a bit annoying, but it was worth it. The way the light filtered beneath the gently moving leaves, the soft breeze coming in from the west, the light rustling on foliage as small animals moved, it was a beautiful sight. I took my camping supplies I packed out of the back of my truck, double-checked I had everything, and decided to head north, since I came from the south. There weren't really many paths here, it was just wilderness, in some back road dead end I decided to go to. I wandered for a while in the woods, making sure to keep my map on hand and a compass tracing everywhere I went. Eventually, I came across a nice looking clearing. I cleared the area of rocks, debris, pieces of wood, and anything that would make my sleeping rough. Then I set up my tent, a nice deep green small tent, just large enough for me and my travel pack. I checked the distance and time I'd hiked, and saw that it was about 1 kilometer in around 10 minutes. Just after I looked at the sky to get a rough estimate of the time, and noticed the sun was beginning to set. On the other side of the horizon, I noticed a large amount of clouds rolling in. Just my luck. No matter what it is, I always seem to forget something. It's usually just one thing, whether it's a spice in a recipe or, in this case, checking the weather. I decided I'd take a walk around where I set up before going to bed. I spent about 30 minutes or an hour or so, and bad at keeping track of time, just slowly walking around, admiring nature, before I decided to return to my tent. As I approached, I felt like something was off. The closer I got, the more the feeling grew and grew. I was having trouble figuring out exactly what it was, but then I noticed. The tarp on my tent was slightly damp. I felt a little nervous, since I'm genuinely a bit of a paranoid person, so I quickly walked around the perimeter of my tent. I didn't see anything odd. Finally, I ended up at the entrance, and noticed that the door was slightly ajar. I cautiously approached, listening carefully. As I got close, my nerves started acting up. Stupid anxiety, I told myself, just shrugging it off. But I couldn't. I don't know why, but I froze. I was scared something would be in there. I managed, after about a minute of standing still with one hand reaching towards the door to open the front of the tent, everything was normal inside. I let out a long sigh of relief and felt around. Everything was dry, apart from a small damp patch near the door. The sun was almost down, and it was getting darker. I decided I'd go to bed now, as the sounds of wildlife from shifting from daytime to nocturnal creatures. I laid down in my cozy little snug sleeping bag, making sure everything was neatly organized in my pack, still in my bed, and went to sleep. I awoke to the sound of rain falling. I'd reckon a few hours later, and felt a little groggy. I realized I had to go to the bathroom, which would mean having to leave the tent. I sighed deeply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Part of me regretting my choice to camp, and I turned to go get my raincoat out of my bag. I always come prepared, even if I forget things. I paused as I shifted something that didn't feel quite right. I listened to the sound of the rain falling for a while before I noticed what it was. There was a wet splash, splash coming from outside. I paused and listened carefully. I noticed it was following a pattern and sounded like large raindrops splashing in puddles. It was circling my tent, keeping the same pace while doing so. It was at that moment something else occurred to me. The raindrops on my tent were much lighter here and less frequent than those on the ground coming from the direction of whatever was circling my tent. The rain was very light, apart from in that one specific area. Slowly, I reached over to my bag. I always stored a small pocket knife in the side pouch of my bag for self-defense. I wanted to make sure I was protected when I confronted whoever or whatever it was. Maybe it was just a really wet raccoon or something, sloshing up the water. I slowly crept to the edge of my tent and paused. I waited for the footsteps to go behind my tent before I slowly zipped a small crack of the zipper open so I could see out, and slowly peek as quietly as I could. I waited for a while for what felt like forever, but as cliche as this is, was just only a few seconds. I know that's something that's said a lot, but you really don't realize how accurate it is until you've experienced it yourself. I heard the footsteps approaching where I was peeking, and to my horror, I saw some strange-looking thing. It was about the size of a human, but appeared to be made entirely of water. I couldn't make out too much of its features due to the darkness of the night and clouds, but I did notice the shine of water and the dripping. I felt like I was being watched, like it knew I was here. Like it was going to come for me sooner or later, or it was waiting for me to make a move. I slowly shifted back inside and started to breathe to calm my nerves. In, hold, out, pause. In, hold, out, pause. I started to focus again, still listening to the sounds. Slowly and quietly made sure to get myself in order, putting on the raincoat, getting my bag ready, and putting it on. I made sure I was holding my keys in a way that I could easily unlock my car when I got there. I waited for the thing to move in front of my tent. I watched as it walked by, and as soon as I was sure it wouldn't see me, carefully and quietly but swiftly opened the door. I took a deep breath. And as I heard it was on the opposite side, I thanked myself for facing the tent towards the car, and I started sprinting. Immediately, I heard whatever it was start chasing, and I heard the splashing of its footsteps. I heard my tent tear, and as it ran through it, I estimated it as the same pace as me, or ever so slightly slower. I couldn't slow down. I couldn't mess up. I ran through the trees, weaving my way through, and I heard several loud slaps of water against the trees, seeming like it didn't need to navigate through the trees. I was almost to where my car was when I tripped on a root and landed with a hard thump, catching myself with my hands on a rock. This was it. I was done for. I saw my life flash before my eyes, and I heard its weight shift, and I felt a massive amount of pain on my side, and I passed out. I woke up a few hours later in a lot of pain. The sun was out, and I could hear the wildlife. It took me a few seconds to realize I wasn't dead, and I immediately shifted over to check my bag, and to no longer be face down on a muddy rock. As soon as I did, a searing pain shot through my right side. I looked down and noticed I was wounded. My bag was torn apart, my shirt with a large gash and bleeding. The wound was deep, but not too deep. I'm lucky it didn't kill me, but I felt lightheaded and hazy. The bleeding seemed to have stopped due to my shirt being slightly displaced and the wetness causing it to cling to my body. I used my torn and broken backpack to cover the wound, grabbing as much of the contents as I could and quickly heading to my truck. The windows of my truck were cracked, and a lot of the paint seemed to be damaged. I quickly found my keys. Luckily, they hadn't been slipped out of my hand, and opened the door. I then dropped everything into the passenger seat. I was about to retrieve the rest of my items and equipment when I heard a soft splash. Splash. I immediately got into my truck, started the engine, and drove out of there, returning home. Before I was gone, however, I noticed a blurry silhouette in my rearview mirror. I decided I did not want to see it more clearly. I relayed all of this to my therapist, and he suggests that I say what happened. So, I guess writing it down did help a bit. I still worry that it's out there, but I know for damn sure I'll never get near it. And I'll never camp again.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.